Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty studios in Prague, first time after 2 years. So a lot continued to happen in Kyrgyzstan, and the latest development is questioning of former Prime Minister Isakov following a couple of days after dismissal of his government. This comes as President Sooronbay Jeenbekov continues going after senior officials who are or perceived to be President Atambayev's loyalists in the government. The question is what these recent reshuffles mean, where things are likely headed going forward in terms of policy and personal changes, and what are the potential consequences. To discuss all these, I'm joined by Bakit Beshimov, lecturer at the Northeastern University in Boston. And previously, he held a number of positions in the Kyrgyz government, ambassador, member of parliament, etc. I'm also joined by my colleagues, Venera Jumataeva, director of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Kyrgyz service, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. Now, let's start, Venera, with you. Now that the latest development in Kyrgyzstan, the questioning of Isakov, how do you read this?
Well, there is lots of corruption cases being considered by the law enforcement agencies, by the Prosecutor General's office, by the State Committee for National Security. There are lots of things to investigate, to find what was done incorrectly. So people are facing lots of troubles. Like last January, people had no heating in Bishkek. So this case is connected to the technical accident at the Bishkek thermal power plant.
You see no connection between the ongoing reshuffles involving the loyalists of Atambayev in the government, or it's pure
connected to investigation of the reasons of technical accident at the Bishkek thermal power plant, and also the usage of the Chinese loan given to for reconstruction of the Bishkek power thermal plant. And he, Sapar Isakov, confirmed after coming out from the National Security Committee that he was questioned about that. And the big parliamentary commission has been investigating that case, and they mentioned already that the agreement with Chinese company was signed 7 years ago, and there are lots of things to investigate, and lots of high officials' names will be involved during this investigation, including several former prime ministers, not only Isakov, also energy ministers, and lots of high officials of energy sector.
Bakit, how do you see this? Like, you know, the question it is in my mind is that, you know, it follows the pattern being the several other dismissals in recent days who are part of the Atambayev government. So do you see any connection between his dismissals and the ongoing crackdown against Atambayev's loyalists in the government, or is this a special case with no connection to that ongoing process?
What I see today, it is a redistribution of power, current president and clans and political groups behind him, trying to just distance from Atambayev and his legacy, and to consolidate power, and after that to get control over financial streams and power. It is about that. And all these events, including different kind of investigations, resign of a prime minister, and he just elected as a deputy head of a party. It is about that. The two camps trying to just redistribute the power.
Let's get, Venera has some points to raise on that.
You asked me about questioning of Isakov, and I answered about questioning, but of course his very quick dismissal was connected to the main power struggle going on in Bishkek.
Bruce, what's your take on this? Like his dismissal first, and then now interrogation that followed this. Why this is happening?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's face it, if he was still prime minister, he wouldn't be questioned. So the one thing followed the other, without a doubt. You know, there was a few scandals going on that people were trying to link Isakov to when he was prime minister. I'm not so sure how much you can blame him for the problems at the thermal power plant in Bishkek. I mean, it was done before before he was actually prime minister. Supposedly, it was all finished. So I don't know about that. But certainly, this sends a message to people who were loyal to Atambayev that they had better watch out what they do in the coming days and coming months, because it's possible that they might also be invited in for questioning by the security service. So I think this is really more of a message than it is actually an attempt to link Isakov to the problems at the thermal power.
Are we expecting anything from this interrogation, like any results?
Well, he might know something. Certainly there needs to be an investigation into what happened. A lot of money was supposedly spent, taken from the Chinese to do that, $386 million or something like that. And it went out at the worst time it possibly could. All of a sudden it stopped operation, and now that they're looking at it, they see that clearly all that money was not spent on fixing that power plant. So there's a lot of questions about that.
Actually, Isakov was interviewed or questioned for his role as a head of the president's administration, overseeing that project.
Now, Bucket, you kind of touched upon this topic, like today or yesterday, he elected as the deputy chairman of the ruling party. Elected is kind of a strange word here. Maybe he's appointed, I don't know. What does it mean?
It means that it is a desperate attempt of Atambayev to save his, candidate to leadership, and it's nothing. But the problem is that it was a wrong pickup. He rapidly became odious prime minister, and his prime ministership was mired in a lot of scandals related to the corruption. And that's why, for J.M. Bekov today, it's so important just to get more popular support from the people of Kyrgyzstan, just acting as an anti-corruption president. And that's why he should find those whom he will use as a scapegoat. Someone should be blamed. And it seems to me Sapar Isakov is one of the victims of further investigation, definitely. But I think Sapar Isakov and someone who are closely related to this corruption scandals, of course, they will be investigated, and probably they will find their place in jail.
If his intention is to fight corruption, Bucket, and also question is open to my colleagues here, if the intention is to fight corruption, then how Jean Bekov can separate himself from those cases? Because he was prime minister for a long time. He was minister for a long time. And before that, he was the governor of Osh.
You ask about intention. You can see two types of intention. The first is genuine intention. There is no genuine intention in Kyrgyzstan politics. Therefore, Kyrgyzstan is still a very corrupt country. Second one, it's an intention to use anti-corruption campaign to get the popular support. We see this type of intention in Kyrgyzstan's politics.
Bruce, do you want to add anything?
I'm not going to argue with that. There's been so many anti-corruption campaigns. I mean, the more interesting thing is how many, how much of this, obviously, with the anti-corruption campaign is really going to be just to punish political opponents and, on the opposite side, try to fill vacant spots with people who Jan Bekov feels are loyal or friendly to him. Certainly there's some people that should be held responsible for a lot of things that have gone on in Kyrgyzstan lately and probably do deserve time in prison. But you just have to wonder how far this campaign goes before people start to consider it more a vendetta than an anti-corruption campaign.
I would say that President Jan Bekov has more or less clean hands to fight against corruption now, because he was prime minister for a short time. And at that time, everything was most like key decisions were made by President Atambayev back then. And Jan Bekov, before that, he was governor of Osh. He was agricultural minister and then parliament member, etc. So he has, to some extent, some credit that's why people are supporting. That's why now, it is kind of very, he has much support for these words, the people just praising, just for saying that we have to fight against corruption, and corruption is the number one problem in law enforcement agencies and in justice system and in National Security Committee, etc. So that's why people are kind of trying to trust him. And I think his name was not involved in like big projects like, for instance, former Prime Minister Temir Sariyev or former Prime Minister Gentoros Atbaldiyev. They have lots of very long tail of lots of like very corrupt and very unsuccessful economic projects. We cannot mention President Jeenbekov in such projects.
Now, the question it raises, Venera, is like if the fight is against corruption, do you think Atambayev is in trouble?
He might be in trouble, but it all depends on how he will behave from now on and how is he going to fight, really continue fighting like he kind of declared a few weeks ago. And if political struggle will continue in a very high temperature, then we can hear very interesting stories, who knows, maybe even about President Jeenbekov and former President Atambayev. Because so far they are kind of publishing all kind of compromising materials about each other. Two sides, two camps are using their own platforms on internet, and we are finding out interesting information. I mean, it's just a matter of question how far they will go against each other.
My point was like if the man Atambayev is not a clean person, obviously.
I cannot take judge's role here, but you can find all kind of very unsuccessful projects and some failed agreements. And Kyrgyzstan is facing court cases in foreign international courts, so there are lots of issues to investigate.
Last week when we were talking about this topic, how far Jeenbekov could go, if you take only corruption, do you see this fight reaching to Atambayev? And at what point he will be touched?
You know, that's going to depend a lot upon whom is called in for questioning and what they say when they are being questioned. If former officials implicate Atambayev in something that happened in the past, and they're going to have to find out to what degree that is true or is not true. There are suspicions, certainly, but suspicions haunt practically every Kyrgyz official about what they've been doing with on the side to make money. I think a big part of this is going to depend on Atambayev. If he will be quiet and not mess around too much in politics, and certainly not hurl criticism at other people, especially President Jeenbekov and his policies, he might last this out. But as we already saw when they had the Social Democratic Party of Kyrgyzstan Congress, and he came out and started criticizing President Jeenbekov and his policies, changes started to happen very, very quickly after that. I mean, really, Jeenbekov cleaned out a lot of former Atambayev loyalists right after that.
Let me put this in a different way. So is there a reason for Atambayev to be investigated in clear corruption cases?
There's, like I said, there's suspicions with a lot of Kyrgyz officials about what they've been up to. The plane wreck and the cargo that was aborted at the start of 2017 have never been entirely explained to a lot of people's satisfaction. That's one example. And like Venera mentioned, he was involved in a lot of projects that didn't seem to go very far. The thermal power plant is one. This business with Lee Glass, the Czech company that was supposed to do the hydropower plants last year, is another one. I'm sure there's a lot more that you could find that we could list here too that seemed a little bit not all the facts about what was going on ever seemed to have emerged from these things, and there's still a lot of questions. So I could see where he could find himself being questioned. I could see where he could be a suspect in some cases. But I think that for political reasons, as long as he keeps quiet, I think it's in the interest of a lot of people to just leave him alone for now and not stir the pot.
That raises another question, bros. If he's quiet, his alleged corruption cases will not be touched. Would it be fair then?
No, it's not fair. I agree. I've made this point. When we had this discussion a while ago, you hate to fall back on political expediency, but if everybody that becomes Kyrgyzstan's president has to worry that when their term is ending that they're either going to have to flee the country or they're going to end up in jail or something like that, then you're going to end up sooner or later with someone who's not going to want to leave office. And it's going to be what's the bigger problem here? What is better for Kyrgyzstan in the long run? You hate to overlook something that was illegal. But on the other hand, like I said, if you're going to put him up on trial or investigate him, then anyone else, including Jeenbekov, has got to figure once the 6-year term is starting to come to an end, that maybe they're the next one. And at that point, do they change the constitution, do something so that they don't fall from power? And then, and if that happens, then we end up with Nazarbayev or Rahman scenario where they just stay on forever.
Hmm. Bucket, do you want to add something on this?
Before attempt of Atambayev to get more influence in the politics when he organized with his Congress of political party, and afterward he has started to criticize the current president. Before that, it was the secret meeting of leaders of different clans, and I got this information from very well-informed sources, and they were decided first to marginalize Atambayev personally, and a second one to eliminate his any influence in politics of Kyrgyzstan. Given this, the intention of these clans behind the current president first is to keep Atambayev as an ex-president with no intention just to investigate him personally and to put him in a jail. But it depends, as you rightly said, how Atambayev will react to this investigation of Sapare Sakov and his loyal cadres. And but if Atambayev will move wrongly and will get more active, I think that the clans behind the current president will just start the next scenario. The next scenario is just to start to reinvestigate situation with the political prisoners, and they probably will release them from the prison. And it means that these angry people, when will get out from the prison, the first intention would be a vendetta, as Bruce said, vendetta. And of course, they can just destroy completely Atambayev by the hands of these angry people. And that's why, I assumed that Sapar Isakov and our loyal cadres of Atambayev will be the first victims of this investigation. And after that, I see today the attempt of people from the north and from the south to organize some kind of coup inside of the Social Democratic Party in order to remove. They would like to organize the next Congress, and if they will remove Atambayev from the leadership of this party and his loyal cadres, it means that they will control this party and they will get additional sources of support.
Very, very interesting comments. Do you see these signs when there are potential coup inside the Social Democratic Party?
Seems like now, right now, events are developing on that kind of scenario, because main platform right now for Atambayev's loyals is April TV channel. And people who are watching this channel almost every day, they are saying all programs are directed into discrediting parliament, discrediting parliament, discrediting some parliamentary groups, factions, and trying to build up some process to dissolve parliament. But it is not going to happen that easily for Atambayev's camp, because the majority of parliament members, they already showed their loyalty to current president. So if events will keep heating up in that direction, like April TV channel and any other platform Atambayev and his people will try to use to discredit parliament, then parliament can make a decision, can make some decisive step to stop it.
It was raised in Bakid's comments too, how Atambayev is reacting to these developments and how the party is reacting to these developments, like dismissal of the security chiefs, then a couple of others that we don't even know the names, and then dismissal of the government, and I don't know, and now the questioning of the former prime minister. How Atambayev and the party is reacting to this?
As I said, President Jeenbekov's actions and his decisions are finding support just because people are giving him credit advance. I don't know, like because they all saw the all mistakes, errors done by former President Atambayev's administration, all this mess in foreign policy, spoiled relations with Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkey, etc. So people were tired, and now they are supporting, and all parties, surprisingly or not surprisingly for Kyrgyz politics of last 26 years, they are collectively, like very collectively, supporting every decision made by President Jeenbekov. It is even to the extent it makes us feel that parliament is already like acting like a pocket parliament for the current president. They're making everything happen for him. So it is very little bit dangerous process when parliament has been already marginalized during last 2-3 years. This parliament was never, I mean, after some parliament members were jailed, etc., it became very manipulative.
Now, Bruce, you know, the same point that Venera has raised, now Jeenbekov has the support base in the parliament, beyond the parliament, especially from the opposition parties. Talking about the parliament, most of them, if not all, were once Atambayev's supporters. What caused to this shift of power, shift of loyalty from Atambayev to Jeenbekov? What caused to it, and when it happened?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is that Jeenbekov is the president now, and everyone knows that this is the place to go if you need anything. You know, I would a little bit disagree with that. I mean, Atama Ken was never big friends of Jeenbekov.
Yeah, I was talking about the Social Democratic Party.
Yeah, well, the Social Democratic Party, because, of course, we got to remember Respublika Atatürk is there, and then they're not really, and Bir Bol has always been kind of, and, of course, the head of the Kyrgyzstan Party is in jail at the moment.
Yeah. They all voted to elect Sapar Isakov to be prime minister in August.
Right. So they, you know, when Atambayev was in, great. He's the guy, and if you want to get anything done, then I guess you support him. He's not anymore, and Jeenbekov is in instead. So now they're all going to him. But I do think that the most interesting sideshow going on at the moment is what's going to happen with the Social Democratic Party. You know, the fact that Atambayev is officially the head of the party, the fact that Isakov just got named, a deputy chairman, I guess, in the party too, shows that there's a split within the SDPK itself at the moment, which is going to be something that's going to have to be resolved. You know, I mentioned, and Venera dismissed the fact there could be early parliamentary elections, but I could also see that if the SDPK is resistant to some of these changes that Jeenbekov wants, one, they're likely to end up being the opposition in parliament. But the way to clear that out is to hold elections and then by party list put in people, replace people that are Atambayev loyalists with people who are Jeenbekov loyalists within the SDPK and put them in parliament instead.
Very interesting. Now, Atambayev is the chairman of the Social Democratic Party. Now, he got his own man as a deputy chairman of the Social Democratic Party. And he also promised to lead the party in the upcoming elections. It's just kind of getting so confused. So what are the calculations of Atambayev, Bakit? What's going on in his mind?
At the beginning, I started to tell about the scenario designed by Atambayev. And today, he just desperately trying to save the remains of his political construction. His prime idea was, first, to support Jeenbekov as his successor. And during the reign of Jeenbekov, he wanted to just be the key player behind the curtain. Yeah. And after that, to just realize the generation change in Kyrgyzstan's politics, being the key player. And after that, after Jeenbekov, he wanted just to promote to the presidency Sapar Isakov. And during the first years of Sapar Isakov's rule, he wanted just to complete generation change. It was his design. And after that, he wanted to stay in the history of Kyrgyzstan as the most prominent historic figure. It was, crushed by his successor, Jeenbekov, and clans. Just within 3-4 weeks after the presidential election. Therefore, for Atambayev today to be active as a chair of the Social Democratic Party, it would be dangerous for him personally, and it will be a mistake. It's a fatal mistake, because Jeenbekov and clans And people, politicians who easily change in their allegiance, they will not tolerate this active participation of Atambayev, and they will try to just eliminate him from politics.
Hmm. Yes, Venera?
I would like to add to what Bakit said, that from it is very clear that not only local powerful clans, but also leaders in Central Asian region, especially Nazarbayev and some other politicians, I mean, leaders of some countries around, they also apparently showed big support for President Jeenbekov, and they might ask him that he has to get rid of the former president's influence and some role.
It appears that he's doing exactly that. Thank you very much, Venera. So where are things likely headed, and what are the potential consequences of it for Jeenbekov and Atambayev and for Kyrgyzstan? We will continue the podcast discussing these and many other questions shortly. First, let me recap the debate today on the Majlis Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast. We are discussing President Jeenbekov's recent steps and their likely translation. Joining me in the discussion are in the studios in Prague, Venera Jumataeva, Director of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Kyrgyz service, Bruce Panier, Editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog called Kishlak Owazi, and Bakit Bashimov, former Kyrgyz politician and diplomat, currently lecturer at the Northeastern University, is joining us from Boston. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis this week in Prague. Welcome back, colleagues. Now that the President Jeenbekov has a new cabinet, Bruce, and a prime minister of his own, can now we say that he is fully in charge of everything in the country?
In so much as you can say that any Kyrgyz leader has ever been fully in charge of his country. This varies. There are always opponents to anyone who's the president of the country. That said, though, for now, Jeenbekov is still kind of enjoying his honeymoon as president here. He does have a lot of support. He has moved a lot of his people in. He's said some great things, about fighting corruption and how the government should work. And there's a lot of optimism there. Traditionally, Kyrgyzstan, of course, has a very active civil society. While most people seem to be behind him now, they have an independent press, and you can be sure that in a few months there will be some criticism of him, and so that's when we're really going to find out how much he and his and the government that's in place now are going to be able to move forward. Because in the past, we have seen that once the criticism starts to come, even if it's not, anything serious, some of Kyrgyzstan's presidents have taken it very badly. And that's when they have cut short their campaign of reform to go after their critics instead. And then that's usually where problems start right then. But, right now, like I said, he's got lots of support. He's moved his people over. If he can put into action the words that he's been saying, I think he should have a good run certainly through this year.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the prime minister, Venera, who's this guy?
Mohammed Kali Abulgaziev. Yeah. He's very classical apparatchik. He is not a politician. We don't remember any political statements.
Right.
He has been working for President Atambayev's administration and then for Prime Minister Jeenbekov and then now for President Jeenbekov. So he's like executive employee. I think he will be away from making political statements, and he has lots of things to do. So let's see. But the government members, the cabinet, was not changed totally. About 70% of cabinet members are the same. They had been working under President Atambayev. But right now, it seems like they all have their loyalty to President Jeenbekov. Of course, they were all had some interviews, some talks with new prime minister before they were appointed. So right now, I think President Jeenbekov has authority in the country. But of course, there are some loyal people who were appointed under Atambayev, but I don't think there is a big support for any of his potential movements against the current government.
You said like 70% of the cabinet ministers are from previous administration. What does it tell you?
They were appointed just recently. Uh-huh. The Saparisakov's government came to power in August 2017. So they even didn't have time to show their ability, their performance. So Jeenbekov was from Atambayev's team. So they know each other for many years, and he gave them credit. He wants them to continue their work.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, anything stands out there in terms of the reappointment of to the cabinet positions?
I agree one with what Venera said, and the people that did change were some of the top people. Mm-hmm. Do you really need to change ministers of transport or communication? Some of this stuff doesn't really need to be, probably never really did need to be changed. The big thing is to get your prime minister in. They changed the head of the security service, the prosecutor general. These are all key posts, and if you have your own people in those posts, then a lot of these other ministries, they probably don't matter quite as much. And anyway, you'd like to think that someone that's been getting experience with the job would stay in the job. We know what happens in Turkmenistan. They get somebody in that's unqualified, and after 6 months, when they're just trying to figure out starting to figure out what's going on, then they get replaced with someone else who's unqualified and starts all over. So I'm against that.
Bucket, what is your reading into this? Especially, what does these faces in the cabinet tells you about where Jeenbekov is leading the country?
Jeenbekov's power based on a clan politics. And for Jeenbekov, it's so important today to get first the support of a majority of influential clans and political groups. Second, to get and strengthen political popular support. And therefore, he would like just to have more his people in the government of Kyrgyzstan and on all public institutions. I think that Jeenbekov himself as a president and this new government, both, they don't have any program, any strategy. Just they are busy with the consolidation of power. Foreign relations, they would like just to get support of Russia, and it's today uncertain. And we will get information about when, after his official visit to Russia. He got support of Nazarbayev, and probably because ruling elite of Kazakhstan would like to just normalize a relation with Kyrgyzstan. And after when it was damaged by the wrong decisions of Atambayev, I see the big contradiction, because economy of Kyrgyzstan in a bad shape. There is no rule of law in Kyrgyzstan. You can see what's happened in Togustoran and mass protest against investors. And Kyrgyzstan is not attractive for investors. And that's why Kyrgyzstan needs radical reforms. But this government doesn't have any clear ideas and programs. Therefore, I see in the next 2 years really the worsening situation in economy of Kyrgyzstan, because you can see that economy of Kyrgyzstan depends on remittances, and a second on export of gold. And the trade of Kyrgyzstan is shrinking, and it's becoming the huge problem of Kyrgyzstan.
Okay, let's take Venera's point on this.
It's hard to say. There are lots of critics that this government doesn't have very knowledgeable, very well-educated economists, and the people we see who are being appointed, they are different class of people. Let's say we used to see this many like professionals who were educated in Moscow, like St. Petersburg, Kyiv. Right now we are seeing all autobiographies of new government members. They are all educated at the Kyrgyz State University and etc. But it's a reality. It's a new reality. And maybe it is a good thing. When the leader or head of your national state committee for national security was educated in Kyrgyzstan rather than in Moscow. Yeah? So we don't know the professional level of this government. It's hard to say. So far, there are lots of critics, and I agree with some that they didn't present any clear strategy or program how they are going to fix everything. Maybe they didn't even have time for that because newly appointed prosecutor general said he was shocked when he was invited to President Jeenbekov and was offered this job.
Yeah.
He said he was silent for 5 minutes because he didn't expect such offer. So there are interesting things happening, and I would like to see them in action, how they work, because so far it's almost very mysterious.
Bruce, in terms of policies, one thing comes to my mind is the office of the prime minister, let's say, which was in power during the last days of Atambayev. What is thinking in Jeenbekov's camp about that position?
That's a tough one. I mean, you know, the system is supposed to be presidential parliamentary system on its way to parliamentary system. You know, Jeenbekov, of course, was a former prime minister, but so were pretty much almost all of them, except for Akayev. Atambayev, I guess, wasn't a prime minister either, but Bakiyev was, and Atambayev was, and Jeenbekov was, you know, before they got to be president. I don't know how much they're going to be able to push that forward. I mean, by 2020, they were supposed to be certainly well on their way to being a parliamentary system. And then, of course, there's been some constitutional changes from the referendum, and I don't know. And even at the end of all this, let's face it, the prime minister himself doesn't last very long. You know, so I don't know. It's, you know, the in theory, the prime minister should have a lot of power. But in reality, you know, I mean, Isakov was just out. He last 6 months or something, you know. And there's been prime ministers that lasted even less than that. Isakov was the 30th prime minister in 27 years. You'd like to think that if they have a parliamentary system, that the prime minister is going to be a more powerful position. But historically in Kyrgyzstan, the tenure for a prime minister is less than a year on the average. So, you know, there's some work to be done there. I'll just say that.
No, Bakit, the prime minister's position is one thing, then the massive reshuffles that are going on against Atambayev's loyalists in the government is the other thing. In terms of policy matters, is there any other policy matter that's coming or likely to come under scrutiny by Jeenbekov going forward?
After presidential election, he had enough time to just define and... his primary objectives. He didn't do it. Secondly, when this new government just came to power, of course, it's difficult to assess because it's new. But we can evaluate all these people who is now in the government, taking into account their accomplishment in the previous workplaces. In this government, I don't see any prominent figure who would be able to make the tangible reforms. As I said, it is important just to make a very positive investment climate in Kyrgyzstan. Did anybody say about that? Any kind of ideas which will be attractive for the potential investors? No. After that, how they see their role of Kyrgyzstan in a trade with neighbors and within the Eurasian Economic Union? Still no. They're just waiting the official visit to Russia, and after that, probably they will clarify their position. And thirdly, how they would like just to improve economy in Kyrgyzstan? What they would like to do? Did we hear anything regarding this during the last 2 months or weeks? No. Therefore, I am a little bit, I am getting skeptical about the potential of this government to make radical reforms, in which Kyrgyzstan need very much.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating discussion. We have to end our debate here, but talking about the last point, maybe Bruce, so what's the next likely step by Jeenbekov?
Wow, there's a lot of things he could do. I mean, I'd like to think that he's going to do something that would make the country more attractive to outside investors. Hmm. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure what that is. You know, gold and mining seem to be their big ticket items. And of course, that sphere is a mess, and it's not because of Jane Beckham. It's just been that way for a long time. You know, so maybe focus a little bit more on regional trade. There might be more to get out of, you know, for immediate purposes today, tomorrow, and maybe, you know, the day after that, by dealing more closely with Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan, and see if you can't get something out. But, you know, I mean, Vakit said that the investor climate has just been tarnished for so many years. Kumtor is supposed to be the big moneymaker for Kyrgyzstan. It's been a thorn in the side of politicians in the country since it started. And I don't see where that's going to get cleaned up anytime soon. So yeah, I would, if I was him, I'd focus on regional cooperation.
Mm-hmm. I guess he's done with shakeups, I believe, in the government, like personal changes, let's say. So where you see he's headed next then?
Oh, I think there are still lots of things to do. There are still lots of things to clean, and still lots of things to do to show real consolidation around President Jeenbekov and real professional government and administration working in some programs or strategies. And he traveled already to Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Brussels, and I know he's going to China soon.
Yeah.
So he has some plans, I believe, where we can, how Kyrgyzstan should fix its economy. But we didn't hear so far a very clear plan, so we have to wait a little bit, I guess. So far, I think they were more focused on this ongoing political struggle.
Bakit, final point from you?
As we agreed today, we see the attempts of current president and clans behind him to consolidate power. And it means that it will just instigate more skirmishes between the different political groups and clans. And I see more conflictual situation in Kyrgyzstan and tension. Secondly, all these actors are preparing to the next parliamentary election. And all of them need money. And therefore, I assume that the situation with the corruption will worsen in Kyrgyzstan. And thirdly, we're trying to just make situation in economy better within the Eurasian Economic Union, where Russian economy is declining and all members of this union facing tremendous problems with their economies. And that's why I am trying to realistically assess the situation, thinking that unfortunately Kyrgyzstan not in a good situation.
Okay, what can President Jeenbekov do to avoid all these problematic things that you are mentioning?
He's only one man, and I think all these problems which I mentioned are much bigger than his own his power.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Bakit Beshimov, lecturer at the Northeastern University in Boston, with Rejim Taiba, director of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Kyrgyz service, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlak Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today. This is from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.